The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Well, howdy, everybody. Welcome to my brother and me. It's an advice show for the modern era. We're just pleased as punch to have you here. I am Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy. I think I know what's going on.
It is so great to have you guys on the show, just to be doing this podcast with you.
I see.
I'm feeling pretty fine.
Oh god, Justin's binding me. I'm just doing just dandy too. I'm finer than frog's hair split four ways.
Sanded down too, I should hope.
Sand them right down.
I just flew in from downstairs, and boy, am I, well, you know how that old chestnut
goes. I see. You've caught the dad real hard.
I'm just a father. I come at comedy from my own unique perspective, colored by my life with my wife and my beautiful baby daughter.
I'm just aware, Dad, because Justin passed his foul darkness into me vis-a-vis fluid transaction.
Boys, what's on the docket today? I hope we can try to keep it clean.
We're going to probably talk about dicks and balls.
No. Oh,
well, that seems like old version of my brother and me. I'm not sure.
Do you want to talk about playing catch?
That would be better.
We could probably land somewhere in the billing vol territory.
Okay.
Yeah.
He gets a little colorful from time to time, but at the end of the day, you know, you're going to get off this roller coaster and you're going to have all your limbs attached. You know what I mean?
My brother, me is just about three guys shooting the shoot and talking about what grinds their gears. You're going to laugh a little. You're going to learn a little. And you're going to learn a lot in life. My brother, me gives its own unique approach to comedy. It's from a Christian family perspective, but a little bit skewed.
Thanks for buying our audio cassette at the Christian Family Bookstore.
Or your local Zondervan's.
You can also listen to our totally clean hockey comedy podcast, HE Double Hockey Sticks. Thank you for listening to both programs. Justin, you back?
I am back.
All right, let's do the show.
Sorry, the little one had a poopsie. You know how that is. It was late night feed.
Can you watch your fucking language?
Okay, straight up, I haven't slept. Do you think that is going to be a lot of... You think that is just a goofy thing people say? And I got irritated because it was the thing that everybody was saying. Everyone, catch up on your sleep. I hope you cannot put enough hours in the bank. First off, sleep doesn't work like that anyway. You cannot put enough hours in the bank for a human that knows nothing about time or darkness or anything, and how that will infringe on your life.
Yeah,
is it one of those things like you think like this is surely as tired as I could possibly get, and then you proceed to get more tired,
and then no matter how tired you get, There's nothing you can do. It's not like I'm so sleepy, so I'm gonna sleep now.
Baby, I heard that over there, but I'm sleeping now, and I will catch you in a few. The thing that makes me happiest so far is that the baby has really good timing. It has good comedic timing, by which I mean I'll get up, fucking stumbling around, stumble over the changing table. Change your wiper a little tushy. Mom will feed her, and then we'll get her all fed, then we'll put her in her, she has a baby straight jacket she sleeps in, and we'll get her that, and we'll lull her to sleep, and I'll gingerly lay her down, bomb squad style, just not want to trip any wires, it's going to wake her back up. I'll sneak back over to my side of the bed, I'll get in my snuggly snuggly pre-kid position for how I would sleep yeah. when I still slept. And then I'll just hear from across the room. Huge, massive, massive screaming dump. And you know what the best part about the dump is? The best part about the dump is the baby will dump and then not cry, but fucking stare at me like, what's up? What's up now, old man? Are you going to leave me here with my little week-old tushy? You know my 3-week-old tushy? Are you man enough to just sleep there while my little baby tushy sits in poopy? Are you man enough, or are you going to come over here and pick me up?
The most horrifying thing I think that you've told me about this situation, and it's an enormous list. And I'm sorry, by the way, that I just referred to the beautiful human life you created as a situation. But let's move on. The horrifying thing you told me is that babies poop when that zone gets stimulated. And one way to stimulate that zone is to clean the poop off of it.
Yeah.
Babies are hilarious.
That's a real, like, yeah, that's a... You're playing with fire. Anytime you clean a baby's butt, you're playing with fire that the baby's gonna be like, oh, man, I forgot I had a butt.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
What
thank
was
you,
the sir. Thing that I did with...
Thank you, portly gentleman.
What was the thing I did with my butt? Oh, that's right.
That's it.
Should we do...
Do you mind if I put this in your hand?
should we do advice now?
That's a good place for it. Yeah.
I love that we joked about doing the thing, and then we did the thing.
Well, I mean... Yeah.
That's the fucking McElroy way. It's a slice of life. That's what we do here on My Brother, My Brother.
Tragedy plus this podcast equals comedy, I guess. Because that's my life right now. Nah, she's great. It's fine.
I would say in this circumstance, poop in your hand plus me not being you equals very, very funny.
Well, yeah, fair enough. Sure. All right. We still help people on the show.
Sometimes. Sometimes we play fucking Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do, Griffin. Right now we're helping people, so let's do this. Thank you, by the way, for continuing to put the show together in my absence, Griffin and Travis. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Just don't do this again.
Yeah.
I won't. Not for 9 months at least. My girlfriend and I recently went to a movie. Okay. Wanting good seats, we went to a row in the middle of the auditorium and selected seats in the middle of the row. As soon as we sat down, a girl in the seats behind us very loudly said, "Seriously?" I glanced back a minute later and saw that she had moved a few seats to her left so that she wasn't directly behind us. Are we good? Or did we commit a film viewer faux pas by sitting in front of her? To our credit, it was stadium seating and neither one of us are very tall. That's from Naive in North Dakota. Interesting.
Are we talking about sight lines? Are sight lines the issue, or is this the issue that you went to sounds like a relatively empty movie theater and decided to sit? You didn't leave a buffer.
Because proximity's an issue. Yeah, proximity's an issue there. But I would say here's the thing: that's her issue and not yours.
Well,
I think if you walk into a movie theater, if someone sits too close to you and you want to move. The onus is on you at that point.
I don't know about that. If it's otherwise empty and someone sits directly in front of me, that's going to feel intentional to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to tell you it's intentional if it's directly beside.
No, in front works too. But here's the thing. In a trillion years, in a bajillion years, I could be at the midnight opening of the last Harry Potter movie, which I don't know if you guys know this, is my most anticipated and also greatest film of all time. And for some miraculous reason, the theater was empty except for myself. And then somebody walked in and sat in front of me. I wouldn't fucking say anything. I wouldn't.
Because you're trying to get whisked.
I'm trying to get whisked away to it. Yeah. Away. And like saying that is going to impact both my experience, their experience, the experience of everybody who has to be a part of the fact that I just made it super uncomfortable.
Is it possible that she was not referring to you sitting down, but some other factor that had just become apparent? Like she just realized.
Did you let out a huge raunchy fart?
No, maybe it wasn't you. Maybe she just sat down and found that the chair she was sitting in was full of farts. The foam had absorbed the fart of a 2-hour previous movie.
Oh, okay. So maybe you sat down and almost at that exact same instant, she put her hand on her armrest. Oh my God, there's jelly all over.
Yeah,
seriously.
Justin's been here.
Who ordered jelly?
Who ordered that pricey movie theater jelly only to leave it on the armrest?
The trick is you bring your own in a little Ziploc bag.
Travis.
That's how you get past it. They charge like $6.50 for some jelly.
It's people like you, they're ruining the jelly industry. There, just had to say.
You know, you go to the Alamo, you go to the Alamo Draft House, they bring you craft brewed jelly during the movie. You don't have to get up and, because like you'll finish jelly and like, I could crush one of those tubs and like, 20 minutes maybe, and then what am I gonna do, get up and do that maybe 6 times, 7 times depending on the length of the film? If it was during fucking Boyhood, we're talking about like 12 jam jars.
I have to admit, I don't think it was a huge faux pas, but I do think that it feels a little bit inconsiderate to sit directly in front of somebody when you have a lot of other
options. But
I do understand though, like if they picked middle seats and you picked middle seats, but maybe leave a row if possible. Everybody wants to sit in the middle, especially in a big stadium seating like IMAX kind of thing. But maybe leave a row between you if possible.
But that's okay, but that's not how space works. Like obviously the ideal like position is like row 4 or 5 in the direct center, right? And then the next best one is like the row behind that or in front of that in the same exact position. But then there's diminishing returns. You get too close. What am I fucking even seeing? Is that you know, Bradley Cooper's nose? No, it's a house.
It's a raccoon.
It's a raccoon. God damn, this movie's transportative.
Did you guys remember, did you ever, like, when you were, you know, a teenager going on some dates, did you ever encounter a thing where, like, you'd sit and be by yourself, and then either, like, it was always older people or, like, you know, like, wanting to sit close to you, like, I know what you guys are going to get up to, not on my watch.
And I want to, or explicitly on my watch. Only
well,
on my watch.
Oh. I always got it like they were just trying to like ruin whatever, you know, necking I was planning for that evening. But maybe they were just going like, no, go on.
Wait, you're telling me that old people tried to ruin something for me, Travis? I don't know. That doesn't sound like their MO.
I think your mistake was being at the same movie that an old person would want to go see.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing is, if you're like 15 or 16, that is your like you're going to see Toy Story 2, and guess what? So are super old people, because they know there's not going to be any violence or boobs in it.
I have a theater etiquette question for you guys, and I want to know if I'm making too big a deal out of this. My like theater pet peeve. I mean, obviously the obvious stuff, you know, talking during Godzilla and things like that. That drives me crazy. But people who continue their conversations once the trailers have begun. Is that not, is that a DMZ, or is that like, is that still a safe zone for chatting? Because some of us like trailers more than movies a lot of times. They're like short movies because I don't know if you guys know, I'm a dad now, I don't get to the theater a lot. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times trailers are going to be the closest I'm going to get to seeing that movie. So basically you're ruining the movie for me.
I've actually have a rule of thumb about this. If the movie theater lowers the lights to the same level that it's at for the movies, you lower your volume to the same level you would for a movie. If they take the lights to half, you can continue your conversation at half volume.
Are you saying that in case of technical error that brings the house lights to full mid-film, you will just start shouting?
Have you ever been in a movie theater and they brought the lights up to full? Has everyone just stayed quiet? No, everyone goes, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Travis actually follows that. I don't know if you've noticed this, Justin, but Travis follows that rule with just his everyday sort of life. So, like, during the intimate times, maybe in the bedroom, he's like, oh, baby, here comes Jordan. What are you? I can't understand what you're saying to me. Are you trying to be intimate?
You want to be intimate?
Turn the lights up. My pee-pee is ready! Well, turn him down a little bit. Meet me in the middle.
Travis is basically photosensitive, is what you're saying.
At a baseball game? At night with all the lights like blasting, those fucking Friday night lights, forget about it. Forget about it. He's the loudest thing in the universe. You guys want Yahoo?
Absolutely.
Yahoo was sent in by a man named Drew Davenport. A legend, one might say. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user Pineapple Lifesaver, who asks, why do so many people buy Lunchables? You could put your own together for a lot cheaper. Just put some meat, cheese, and crackers in a Gladware container.
Well, fucking thanks, Einstein.
Update. It's not cheaper, though, for the tiny handful of food that you get. Even at $1, They're using the cheapest quality of ingredients. Buying some cheap turkey, American singles, and Ritz saltines will give you the same amount of 10 or more Lunchables for half the cost. Holy shit, that can't possibly be right.
All right, first off, blasphemy.
They're saying not 10 or more Lunchables for half the cost. Uh-huh. We're talking about 20 fucking homemade Lunchables per Lunchable proper.
That's a lot of margin.
Has anyone ever bought a Lunchable thinking, I'm a thrifty consumer? This is
doing. You are neither a thrifty, you're not fiscally smart. You are not making a good nutritional decision. You are basically just saying, I'm a piece of shit.
Well, it's one of two things. Either you're saying, like, I'm a piece of shit, or you're saying, like, you know what? I'm going to little kid treat myself. Hey, 8-year-old Travis, who only wanted Lunchables all the time, but his mom packed him, like, actual sandwiches and apples and stuff because she cared for him. But at the time, he would look around the other kids who ate Lunchables and think, what fun lives are they leading? If only I was more of a Lunchables type kid, but I wasn't. So maybe 25-year-old Travis buys 8-year-old Travis a Lunchable and sends it back to him through his tummy.
We've got to go back.
Can an adult not just enjoy a motherfucking Lunchable though, without those auspices? You guys are throwing a lot of shade at Lunchables right now. I knew we love horses on this podcast, but I did not know we love high horses quite so much.
But are Lunchables not the same? Like, I put them in the same category as the Hot Pocket. Toaster strudel.
Yeah, it's a fucked up Venn diagram you just weaved.
A Hot Pocket's a lot of work. You gotta push the buttons and a lot of fiddling.
But
Lunchable, you have to construct your own. They don't just hand you a package. That's
customizable. Kids love that.
We're getting away from the fucking heart of the matter, and I want to get us back to it. And now, okay, if you want to fucking time travel, I'm 8 years old. I roll up to school. I bust out a Gladware DIY. It's a Lunchable.
You've written Lunchable on it, but you spelled it differently to avoid
Griffin, what the fuck is that? It's a Munchable. It's a what? A Munchable? Dad, my dad made it for me, and he said it's just as good, and what are you...
Stop it! I'm literally gonna cry. I'm literally gonna...
What are you all eating? We're eating Lunchables. They're brand name Lunchables that our rich parents got us at the store. What was yours called? Munchables? What's in it? Looks like I got some oyster crackers and a nice note.
What seems to be a hair.
It looks like a hair.
This is one of my new dad Jerry's hairs.
The container smells like salami because it used to have salami in it. That's how we got it. We can't afford to buy Gladware either. We're just reusing the old containers.
Have you guys ever noticed with Gladware when you store like a tomato sauce or a base product in it for an extended period of time, and then you wash it pink. And it's still it's that pink color.
Now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is happening there? What is the porousness of this material?
Photosynthesis.
Is it osmosing through the plastic?
Can I rock Munchables in the modern workplace? If I roll up and I have a fucking Gladware container and I've written Munchables on there in a Sharpie, and maybe some of the letters are backwards, just to like really drive it home. And I'm just like, Jerry from accounting walks in and he's like, what are you eating there? I say, oh, Munchables.
Hold on, that voice worked for the 8-year old.
Yeah, I prefer a fucking snack Cracker Tower and I eat it from the top down like a T-Rex. Am I okay? Am I good?
I think if I got to watch you do that, just make a huge stack of crackers and cheese and meat, and then just deep throat it. Just put your head at the top and just keep jamming until it's all gone. Munchables. These are Munchables. Yeah, I'll make you some. I'll bring some in tomorrow.
Weird thing is, it's like the sadness is greater than the sum of its parts. Because if you just brought in like a container with crackers, a separate container with cheese slices, and a separate container
Travis.
But that's not weird to me. But you put it all in the same container and transport it that way, and it's like 100% sadder.
Of course, context is important in this situation. If I eat crackers and then in another room I eat some lunch meat, it's not going to be a thing. But if I try to give it my own DIY fucking Pinterest branding, then we have a situation, all right.
This is an interesting question for you about Lunchables. If you go to a party, let's say, where there are crackers and cheese and little pieces of meat, I don't think there's a number of those things that you would eat at which point you would say, well, I've had lunch now. at me. Did you have lunch? Yes, I did.
Well, you guys are...
I grazed here.
You guys are...
And now I've had lunch.
Limiting your scope to the fucking snack, cracker, lunchable box set. There was a lot... There was a lot more variety in there for our dirty North American bento boxes, essentially is what we're talking about. I don't know if you guys ever sampled the pizza, which was...
Oh, my God.
Which was pizza, Griffin, but cold.
I have very clear memories of watching an adjacent rich kid eat the pizza Lunchable and being physically repulsed at the idea of eating cold. All of it cold, and they would call it pizza, and it turned my stomach.
Well, let me take
more.
You. Let me take you down the oubliette to even further. Just peer into the darkness with me, and we'll talk about the definition of the word soft taco, because Lunchables also had that that game. Wasn't especially on point because you had a round thing.
It was the pizza crust.
It was the
again.
Fucking pizza crust. And then they had a cold, essentially giant ketchup packet, but instead of ketchup, it was ground meat question mark? I don't know
meat
how you would recreate.
Meat was in quotation marks. It was also an acronym. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was Bad News Bears. I don't know how you would recreate that for the Munchables brand, but I think that there is a lot of opportunity there. We could probably get some vegan free option, vegan free, gluten free, no vegans,
no vegans allowed.
I think all Lunchables are inherently vegan free. Anyway, this person has a great point. I'm gonna take this to Shark Tank. Thank you, Yahoo.
A few years ago, I took the plunge and moved to Reykjavik, Iceland. It's a beautiful country, and its popularity as a vacation destination has been growing over the past few years. There are frequently cruise ships docked here, which discharge a few hundred tourists every few days. Man, I hope this question's about a grift. I haven't finished it yet, but I really hope it's about a grift. When I walk through the city, I encounter lots of said tourists taking photos. My question is, what's the acceptable social norm when you encounter someone taking a photo and your path will lead through their field of vision? Should I wait for the person to take the photo, continue on my way, regardless whether or not it would ruin the shot? Any advice you could offer would be much appreciated. That's from InFrame in Iceland. That's beautiful. I'd love to get up there sometime.
Oh, yeah.
I was just watching The Simpsons about that. The
travelogue of The Simpsons?
The era of Carl.
Do they get the Aurora Borealis up there?
The David Boreanaz?
That was in the episode of The Simpsons, so I'm hoping so.
I say keep on keeping on. I think JKL, I think just keep living and just keep walking. If they get you in the shot, then they have actually gotten some fucking local wildlife in the picture.
Yeah, well, color.
I think you go one step further. I think you don't just walk through. You get in the shot. You pose. You act like, look at this, right? Give it kind of a thing like you. They asked you to be in the picture, or even better, they were like, hey, Steve, get over here. Let me take a picture of you. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of pose and like gesture towards the, you know, the mountains.
Well, I think it loses some of the magic if they have to ask for it. Then it's not candid. I think maybe you carry around a giant swordfish with you, a really big swordfish that maybe has a little bit of ice still on it. And whenever you see somebody taking a picture, you scurry over there as fast as you can and you hold that swordfish over your head proudly and you make like a jovial laughing face. And it's like, I caught this local sword fisherman mid catch. How happy is he? God, I wish I was that happy anymore, Diane. That's how memories are made.
I think it's all about your angle. If you're behind the person, then you're local color. If you're in front, in the foreground, you're messing up the focus. You're making yourself... I mean, you're basically turning it into an album cover for you.
Ooh, that's such a good question. Is there someone in... Are these people taking photos of, like, the scenery, or are they taking pictures of people? Because if it's of people, I'm way less likely to keep going. But if it's just like taking a picture of a beautiful building they found or a lovely landscape, I'm just gonna keep walking.
I think the problem though with your guys' two lines of logic is that you're thinking about the feelings and desires of the picture taker and not my own feelings and desires to become either an internet meme of like swordfish Iceland man, or maybe a local legend vis-a-vis the Mothman, Only I would be Swordfish Man, and I would carry with me portents of terrible destruction.
So, like, you would hold the swordfish, but, like, maybe have your back to the camera and just the last minute turn and look back. Just, like, half a face and a swordfish.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, he's in every photo.
He's in every photo that's been taken in Reykjavik today. How did that happen?
Oh, it's just like on, what's that show with the kid from the Dawson's Creek? And it's the French. It's the French, and there's the bald man. He's in all the photos, and he's holding a swordfish.
It's also Dawson's Creek. There was a season where there was just a guy, just and he had a swordfish, and he was in every shot of the show.
Did you guys know The Observer, which Travis refers, is from Huntington, West Virginia?
Well, you just think that, because he's fucking all over the place.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. Did you watch the show?
Yeah, I mean, I watched the show. I'm just saying he's from Huntington.
Did you get the symbolism of the swordfish?
I saw swordfish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Keep rolling with it.
Keep going deeper.
That's all. You know, it was inoffensive, I'd say. Some of the hacking was a little harder to buy, specifically the Hugh Jackman hacking.
Specifically the all of it.
Hugh Jackman. I don't buy it.
Keep going. I don't have
it. What do you want me to say, Travis? John Travolta was in it.
Read another question.
I wish John Travolta got more work. There, I said it. My wife is terrified of round fish.
Uh-oh.
We like to be outside.
See what I mean?
And I love adventuring in the water. Okay, stop right there. Pump the brakes, Chief. I love adventuring in the water. Mm-hmm. But anytime we leave the shore, are you a pirate? Like, just the beach. Okay. My wife freaks out because there might be round fish near her. Apparently, flat fish are fine.
Wait.
She agrees it's an irrational fear, but just... Let me just finish this. She agrees it's an irrational fear, but just today she ran crying to the shore because a 4-inch trout swam by her.
I'm sure that's something that she wanted the internet to know. Great job, sir.
I don't want to give up my aquatic activities, but I don't know how to help her get over her fear. MBMBAM, what do I do? And that's from ichthyophobic in trout.
God damn, Justin.
Nailed it.
You just said that word fucking...
Even like sleep addle.
Like just like saying your words is not like your best thing. And that's the hardest word I've ever seen. And you did 100%.
And also you said Reykjavik really good.
Grape job.
Grape girl.
Thanks.
Apparently
what I've been missing all these years, a reason to live.
So.
Who knew?
Round fish. Is that.
Round fish. Okay. What are we talking about?
Is it everything but a stingray? Because Bad News Bears, that's the scariest fish that exists.
Well, no, what's the one? There's the one that, like, stays on the floor of the ocean, but it's just, like, it has the eye on both sides. Perch?
I mean, no. Like, is it, like, how Nemos are flat and, like, fish like that? Like, that don't have a lot of girth?
And then there's, like, the seaman, and he's got the face, and he's all round.
No, Travis.
Nobody's afraid of seaman. Everybody loves seaman.
So kind of
gentle. Okay, so the one thing that is weird about this is that I'm assuming if it's trout, aren't trout just exclusively freshwater fish?
Yeah.
Am I incorrect there?
We have no way of proving that. Probably not. There's probably one trout that swam in the ocean and was like, I'll kick it here. And then they had...
I get way more worried about, like, aquatic life when I'm in, like, a lake or a river.
Above the ocean? More than the ocean.
Really?
Yeah. I just find it much more... I think in the ocean, it's just... I don't know. I get a much more like under the sea kind of vibe. And I guess when I'm in freshwater, I get more of like a opening of True Blood.
Okay,
vibe.
So just like
a big old catfish swimming around through the rings.
You're assuming that the fish in the ocean are just like, we live in the biggest fucking body of water. This fucking rules. And fish in the lake are like, God damn, those ocean. Our shit is like 1/1,000,000,000% of ocean. Cool. Glad we're here.
Right.
Would love to catch a plane. And what's that? No fish planes. Yeah. Guess that makes sense. Oh, my body would die in the ocean. That sounds fair. Thanks, fish Jesus.
I'm real confused. If your wife is so afraid of fish, Why is she continually putting herself in a position to be the only place where fish are?
Well, it sounds like she's doing that to please Ichthyophobic.
Well, why not canoe? Perhaps get a pontoon boat?
Because then you're just, like, above the thing that you're afraid of. And they'll jump into the boat. You see that shit. You watch videos of, like, surfers, like, surfing. And then, like, a stingray jumps through them. It's like, hey, great job catching that wave. You have a stingray-shaped hole in you now.
Can we focus? I think that, you know, a fear of fish, that's fine. I have a fear of mice. People have fears. My friend John Mahaffey's afraid of spiders so much, I think he pooped his pants up when he saw some. Okay? People are afraid of things.
Again, this is the episode where people say things about people that they don't want said about them on the internet.
What I am more concerned about is this guy is apparently so. We have two references to his aquatic pursuits. He loves adventuring in the water, and he doesn't want to give up his aquatic activity. What is he doing that this is such an inconvenience that he would come to us over this? Everybody gets one, pretty much. And this is this guy's one. What is he doing in the water that is so sacred that he can't give it up for his lady? Mm. Aquatic activities. Very, very suspect.
You know what there's you could fishing, do?
Right?
You could go to a pool.
I used to, when I was a kid... I would sometimes get into the deep end of a pool, and I would have the thought, what if there was a shark in here? And then over the next few minutes of being in the deep end, that thought would gradually congeal to, fuck me, there is a shark in here. So, if you're wondering if people are born with anxiety or they develop it, I think you have your answer now.
So, Justin, the fact that you could see through the water... didn't do anything.
Don't matter. He was behind me. He's avoiding me.
He's made of glass. Me.
Glass shark. Glass shark love fat kid. That's one thing about glass shark you gotta know. Glass shark, he loved a fat kid. You stay out the water, fat kid. Glass shark coming for you. He gets you down there, bad deep water, that dark water. You wouldn't. Fat kid, no go. Glass shark, come to that dark water. He gets you, fat kid. You swim around, he bite your trunks right off, you tubby little fish. You swim all you want, flop and flap around. Glass shark gonna come. Glass shark behind you, fat kid. You gotta swim. Swim faster. Pretend there's a corn dog at the end of the pool. Get out that dark water. That dark water, that glass shark coming for you, fat kid. He make you a snack. He eat your brother. He don't care. He glass shark. He in that bad dark water. Swim on over here. Why don't you cool off a little lemonade? Wait, that glass shark move on down the next pond. Get that next fat kid. Don't let him get you. Nah, you seem all right, though.
Oh, fucking glass shark.
And a friendship is formed that lasts the ages.
Oh, my God, glass shark.
By the way, that guy wasn't black. He was from Louisiana.
Oh, sure. We all got that. Should we clarify? Should we go to the money zone?
Okay. This week's episode is brought to you by Prosper.
Just the idea money? That you can have money. Enjoy.
The idea of being prosperous. It's brought to you by positive visualization. Focus on the word prosper. No, what if you knew that 72 hours from now you would have $35,000? What would you do?
Coke, this is like Bender. Check.
Coke, Bender. You pay off your credit cards, start a business.
Nope.
Whatever you want to do. Prosper is the place you can go for a low fixed rate loan. Now listen,
this is not the kind of thing that you typically come to us for. We get that.
You're already coming to us for this kind of thing. We know you're someone who likes to take chances. Okay, Prosper is the high tech answer to personal loans. They got a peer to peer lending process. They don't charge a bunch of fees. They don't raise interest rates, and you'll never ever. This is the best part. You'll never set foot in a bank.
Good. Listen, like anyone who's ever looked for a loan before, it's like a sweaty, awful process. You know what I mean? Even if you know you have good credit and you know you're in a good place, there's something about sitting down in the bank and having someone sit across from you while they go through every inch of your life in front of you and judge whether or not you're a good bet to give money to. So why not do it over the computer and not have to face that kind of judgment, you know?
No sweat required.
No sweating. But here's, if you think about it like any kind of funding site, this allows you to say, I need a loan for, maybe you're doing a big cross-country trip or you need to you know, fix the stairs on your house, something like that, something that you need a loan for and you plan to pay back. But you go to Prosper, you say, this is what I need the loan for. And then people throughout the world can give you that loan. And then, and when you pay back your loan, you're paying back them. So right. There's no bank involved. It's other people are giving you the money you need, and then you're paying that back.
And if you get a loan through Prosper, and you tell them the Brothers McElroy sent me, you can get a $50 Visa prepaid card when you get that loan. Just go to prosper.com/mybrother.
And you can actually get your you can check your rate like instantly, and it won't affect your credit score. So you can see, you know, sort of where you can get in at by going to prosper.com/mybrother. It's all one word.
Travis, you have to read this legal stuff, or else all three of us will go to jail.
And, you know, if you have any questions about it, there are other restrictions apply. You got to see the site for program and Visa prepaid card details. All personal loans are made by WebBank, a Utah chartered industrial bank. It's a member of FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. So just go check it out for all the details. This is like a real ass thing. This isn't just like some funny website.
You can tell it's a real ass thing because there was text we legally had to read, or else we'd all go to jail together.
So go check it out.
That legal text, you know what? When you're getting your Prosper loan, I have a great idea. When you're getting your Prosper loan, maybe cut yourself off just a little bit extra. Maybe just slide a few extra bucks in there so you can go to naturebox.com and get yourself some food also.
Maybe you need a loan for snacks. I need a snack loan.
You need a snack loan. You're not going to need a snack loan with these snacks because these are affordable. They're healthy. They're delicious. There's no trans fat. There's no high fructose corn syrup. Some of the snacks are low in sugar and don't have gluten. And they'll ship to you for free. You go to naturebox.com /mybrother and you pick out the snacks that look good to you.
Are you guys rocking anything new?
I haven't got a new box in a while. The peanut butter nom noms are very good.
I'm actually
we got a coffee coated popcorn.
Oh, that sounds amazing!
Amazing.
I'm on a fog cleanse actually. That's where you just oh, thanks for asking. It's where you just eat fog. You just eat fog. Whether it's like natural, I mean, obviously the natural stuff is the best. If it's a foggy day outside, you just go outside. And but otherwise, you're going to need like one of those fogger machines that they use for like Easter pageants when they roll away the stone. And it's like, whoa.
But once you finish your fog cleanse, go to naturebox.com/mybrother. You're going to get 50% off of your first month's box. And delivery is always free, so you don't have to worry about it. I'm telling you, every week it seems like more and more people are saying, like, I finally tried it. Thanks, it's wonderful. So what the hell are you waiting for?
What are you even doing? I got a message for Steven from Tacoma who says, a happy birthday. Because you couldn't wait and opened all of your presents before your actual birthday, I went ahead and bought another one and hid it. Here's your clue. This one isn't in my office or in a closet. Good luck, and hopefully you don't find it before they read this message. If you do, you owe me like a whole dollar. I'm confused. I thought for a second that this was the present and that they hid it inside our fucking brains and voices.
Oh my god.
That's the best place to hide something, I think.
Total Recall.
I gotta say, Steven, you need to slow your fucking roll for like a minute. Do you not know how presents work? They are a representation of how thoughtful I am about like how much I know about you. And if you look that shit up ahead of time, you ruin it. You ruin it.
And I'm just going to throw this out. In the day and age of Amazon and everything getting shipped to you, if you're within like 2 weeks of your birthday and you get a package, don't just tear into it like an animal. Clearly it's a birthday present, you fool.
Yeah. Savor the flavor. It's from me, but really it's for me.
Speaking of which, Griffin, one quick break. Griffin, I wanted to thank you because right before this podcast, my wife and I enjoyed the chicken pot pie that you bought for us, and it was off the charts.
We sent you that shit like
mouth-sloppingly delicious
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, we were in the hospital for a little while, and it's kind of hard to get home to cook a pie.
I'm saying, but it was still cool. I'm saying, get pie.
It's in the freezer. Okay. It's fine. It was absolutely delicious. I'm not gonna mention who made the pie initially because pay me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was delicious. I wanted to thank
Well,
you
thank
that.
Rachel. I didn't get
you a pint.
I did technically
you got me lots of stuff.
I got to tell you, I technically did also not get you a pie. My wife, my very thoughtful wife did.
It was really good.
Okay, enough of that bullshit. Here's the greatest money zone spot we've ever had.
Oh, Jesus.
Who is this message for? It's for present day Chris. And who is this message from? From past Chris. Hey, me. How's it going? You're probably stressed at work when they're reading this, so I hope this cheers you up. Speaking of work, did you get a new job yet? What about your gender stuff? No rush, but have you figured out any of that? Is the cat still peeing on the rug? I bet he is. That PB boy can't be stopped. All the best, you. And when asked what date he wanted, he said, surprise me.
Oh, shit. See, this is how you hide a fucking present. Fucking Chris hid a fucking present from himself. And he gave me the joy of giving
herself.
It to him.
I'm going
to
throw that out. I'm not going to jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
But it's the greatest thing. All I can picture is that Chris hit enter in the keyboard and then erased this memory. Just somehow there's like eternal sunshine on the spotless mind. Whoop, was gone.
This is solving a sustainability problem that we've had for so long now, which is that if everybody on Earth buys a money zone spot for somebody else on Earth, we are halving the number of money zone spots we could ultimately get if everybody just bought them for their own fucking selves. And then that's a direct ROI.
If Travis says that this is the best money zone message ever. Is this better than
hip,
thanks for vibing and keeping it tight? If you need me, hit me up. I'm on my mobile.
Okay. That wins for best content. This wins for best concept.
Conceptual.
By the way, if you have not yet been in My Brother Me appreciation group on Facebook, get there, get approved, and see the illustration that Lucas Williams created for Thanks for Vibing and Keeping It Tight. If you need me, hit me up on my mobile. It's a baby talking into a cell phone. The baby's
It's pretty good stuff.
It's pretty good
stuff. The application process is, I'm not going to lie to you guys, it's pretty strenuous. I check how many groups you're in. I see if you're in any bullshit groups. And then I say, yeah, okay, you can come in. If you post shitty memes or
listen to my podcast.
Or degrading photographs, no thanks. We don't need you here. We don't need your services.
Or try to sell jeans.
Or sunglasses.
A lot of people on there seem to sell jeans. Just come to the group and start selling jeans.
If you're made of cyber bits, you are not welcome here. No thanks.
No robots.
I have a Yahoo answer. Do you guys want it?
Wait, before we go on, if you would like to buy a Money Zone spot for someone you know.
Or yourself.
Just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. And they're going to set you up for all that, birthday messages, and if you have like a website or a product that you want us to talk about and tell people to go check out, just go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. This is episode like 215. We've been with Max Fun since like episode 38, and I still get emails every week, like 6 or 7, that say, how do I get a money zone spot?
Well, that's only because we're fucking terrible at telling people how to do anything.
So I'm going to make sure I say it again, MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Thank you. I love you.
Hi,
my name's Dave.
And my name's Graham.
Now, what do we have to do to put you in a brand new podcast today?
Yeah.
What, do you want me to drink bleach? I'll do it.
Yeah, Dave will drink bleach.
If that's what it takes to get you to listen to Stop Podcasting Yourself on MaximumFun.org.
Don't make Dave drink bleach. Just listen to the show. He will, but don't make him.
Stop Podcasting Yourself.
Here's a Yahoo answer that was sent in by Alan Black. Thank you, Alan Black. It's by Yahoo Answers user Saz, who asks, is there a traffic ticket for sexting? Hypothetical question.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's hypothetical. It's fucking hypothetical until it's not anymore, until it's manifest.
Wait, I'm confused by the parameters. Are they saying if someone sees you sexting... while standing in a car in general.
Yeah.
Or is it like while driving? Because I feel like that falls under different category.
Varies from state to state, right? Could be if you're texting in your car no matter what, yeah, you're fucked. If the car is at a stoplight, you're fine. Just don't move while you're texting or sexting.
There was a whole 15-minute spot on Car Talk about not sexting while you drive.
Is there fucking Griffin, really?
You could tell me not to move while sexing. You might as well start tell the sun to stop shining.
Yeah.
I gotta move till I find the exact right angle. I'm gonna find my light. I'm gonna find my angles. Going to model H2T. That is head to toe. I'm gonna booch. I'm gonna smize. I can't.
You're gonna take a picture of my dick.
No, I'll take do not a do that.
Of my dick and balls.
No. You're not gonna do that. You're not gonna do that. That sexting, I don't think, involves dicks or balls.
Okay, so maybe I'm just going to text, like, I'm going to use my wiener so good on you. So good. You're going to really enjoy
this
it.
It's pretty hot so far. Yeah.
I think you're going to thoroughly have a good time. Your comment card is going to be all fives.
Uh-huh.
You're really going to enjoy it. Oh, but God! A police officer.
Pulls you over. Excuse me, sir, were you texting while driving? Yeah, no. I'm sorry. I just, I am too busy, and like this message couldn't wait the 4 minutes that it was going to take for me to get to fucking Super America. So I am sorry. I was texting while driving. I will take that ticket now. Hold on a second. Can I ask the subject matter of the text message, of the SMS?
It was of a medical nature.
Okay. I mean, you should go a little bit deeper. Was it dick?
It's about how good my wiener is.
It was about how great my wiener is. Sorry. I have to take you to double jail.
You know, there's a new campaign but when you get into a car, to text your friend, hashtag X, and to let him know you're driving.
To let everyone on my contact list know, Meemaw, Meeps, Peepaw, Peepums.
Everybody. Hashtag X.
My old landlord's wife when I lived in Chicago. Do need you to know, just hold off for just like 15 minutes till I get to the Super America.
Couldn't you just not look at your phone?
Are you kidding? Have you met a 14-year-old? No.
A 14-year-old who's driving and sexting?
And is drunk.
And is drunk and high.
Wearing a blindfold. This kid is reckless.
He's probably high.
He's got a knife in his mouth.
He's got a knife in his mouth and he's high because he lives in Boulder, Colorado.
And he doesn't vote. He just complains about how it turns out afterwards.
That motherfucker's never voted, and he's always high, and he's driving, and he's a danger to us.
What's that in the back seat? It's a monkey!
Wait, what? Where are we?
There's a monkey in the back seat!
Wait, is the monkey supposed to represent danger or awesome?
Just the kid's bad to the bone.
Maybe it's a helper monkey, because the kid has no sense of judgment.
Okay.
The monkey's in the back going, I don't know about this,
I don't know. Robbie,
maybe take the knife out of your mouth.
Robbie, you should pull over. You should get unhigh. You should put the mic down. And you need to text your dad, your mom, and everyone you know, hashtag X.
And maybe don't talk about your dick and balls when you talk
to
that nice
and
girl.
Don't. Nobody should fucking be sexting. You don't need me to fucking magic decision monkey to tell you to do that. Or a comedy podcast. Here's the more you know PSA. Don't send pictures of your privates to anyone. Or descriptions of your privates at length. That's worse in a lot of ways, depending on how good you are at writing. Justin, go ahead with the next question.
I work in a call center. Part of our job is asking the client if there's anything else we can do for them before hanging up. Maybe 4 or 5 times a day, someone will say, yeah, the winning Powerball numbers.
What?
That's crazy. Do you work at like a fortune-telling place?
I don't think you delivered it correct. Let me try.
Okay.
So, yeah, the winning Powerball numbers.
Okay, that's funnier.
That is better, actually.
That is funnier. I know they're trying to be funny and nice, and I don't begrudge them. But after hearing that same joke, and there are actually 4 sets of quotation marks around joke, infinity times, I am incapable of polite laughter and sit there like a weeping angel looking into a mirror. Are there any funny responses that you could help me add to my repertoire so that I don't feel like a humorless ass 5 times a day? Is there anything I can do to associate this terrible joke with a good one and make it funny?
Oh,
and that's from Fake Laugh Failure in Philadelphia. Here we go.
Do you want to?
Wait, first let me say one thing.
Okay.
You only need one response, really. I mean, you can have more in your quiver, but the person's not going
to
know.
They're not going to know. So they're not going to talk to Steve. Like, did you talk to that customer service person? Yeah, what'd they say to you?
I did my great joke.
Fuck. Quick question. Do you want it to be funny to them or funny to you?
You're trying to re-yuck a yuckster?
No. I'm saying,
I think Travis is pointing out one of the facts of growing up is that you learn to treasure jokes that aren't exactly funny,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
But are serviceable and make sense and can get you out of a conversation.
Because I'm going to tell you, here's the thing. As someone who's worked customer service and had to deal with these people before, they're not trying to be funny. They're using this like a fill in the blank, drop it in so they feel like they've had some kind of interaction with you. This is like a thing they say when they can't think of something to say. Like, how you doing? Weather, huh? You know what I mean? This is just a filler thing.
You are trying to normalize the behavior of fucking space aliens, Travis, because the normal thing that you say when someone says, can I help you with anything else, is no, thank you, goodbye. Great service. You don't even say that last part. You don't even say no, thank you. You just say bye, and you hang up the fucking phone.
Sometimes you even say bye.
Because you're talking to a human automaton. Is the transaction over? Can I detect that you were trying to wrap this conversation up? I'm going to save us both a lot of time and just cut the line.
All right. Let's think of some not funny.
Okay.
Okay.
But here's serviceable answers. Let me throw one out just to get things started. There's a three in there somewhere. That's all I'm allowed to say.
I like that. Let me throw this out.
Travis, I swear to God, if you say
you motherfucker,
I'm gonna start taxing you. There'll be a tax. You're gonna get a bill. Where's this bill come from?
Try this one on for size.
Oh, fuck.
Put this in your pipe and smoke it.
Okay. Okay, Justin, you give me the Powerball line.
Nothing on my sleeve this time for sure. Why'd you try that?
Okay, Justin, give me the Powerball line.
Yeah. The winning Powerball numbers.
Well, I'd love to, but I'd get fired.
Wow, that fucking gave me the douchiest chills.
Fuck. Okay, wait, hold on.
I try one out? You both did one. Let me try one.
Okay.
Travis, you do the prompt for me this time.
Yeah, the winning Powerball numbers.
A 69. You make a vigorous blowjob motion.
Okay, Justin, give me a line again. That.
Yeah, the winning Powerball numbers.
6, 17, 22, 38, 6, 5. Whoa! Oh, God, what just happened? And then you hang up the phone really quick.
Travis, give me the line.
Okay. Yeah, the winning Powerball numbers.
36, 24, 33. maybe she's Sir Mix-a-Lot's girlfriend.
kids, Justin, give it to me.
Yeah, the winning Powerball numbers.
Sir, I have a lot of people to get through today. Do you need anything or don't you?
Yeah, the winning Powerball numbers. Please, I need some escape. I need an escape hatch from this life, this prison life that I've constructed for myself around myself.
My family and I are so destitute. I've been out of work for 6 months. That's why I called the Butterball hotline.
It sounds like
I'm hanging on by a thread here.
Sounds like you're in dire straits. So 69. I'll get you out a lot of workplace pickles.
Get you out a lot of workplaces.
Yeah, that too.
Get fired.
Let's end the show.
Yeah, we're done. Hey, thank you all so much for listening to my brother, me. I sure missed doing this with my brothers, and I miss seeing all you all and hanging out with you all, and I'm certainly glad to be back. So thank you for listening to our show again. Thank you to people tweeting about our show, like Kyle Starr, Peter Allen Boyle, Rich Wilson, Todd Hauser, Steve, JB, Paul Briner, David Lasky, Rocket Man, Sam Dean Lynn, Bravo Alpha, Rocket Man again, Mia, Dan Hendrickson, so many others. We're at MBMBAM on Twitter, so you can just follow us there and tweet at us using the MBMBAM hashtag. That'd be great. And thanks for all the nice feedback about the Adventure Zone.
Yep.
D&D episode.
We had a lot of people asking if we're going to release the rest of it. Like, that was all that we've played, but we are figuring out what doing more of that looks like in a podcast. Not this podcast, but maybe another one.
Speaking of other podcasts, if you enjoyed this podcast and you haven't listened to the other Max Fun podcast, you are cool. There's tons of them. I'm not going to try to list all of them because there's way too many. But I just saw on Twitter that Lady to Lady just recorded an episode with French Stewart.
Oh, don't tell people that, because then they're going to try and fucking shame us because we were horrible to French Stewart.
We were not. It was all in fun. It was
not in fun or in jest. We were fucking horrible to French Stewart.
In our defense, those were in the days when we couldn't imagine anyone would ever listen to our show.
Correct.
That was not as long ago as I think you guys think it was. That was like 199. I'm sorry, French Stewart. We're fucking growing. We're learning that when we say things about human beings, sometimes those human beings can ostensibly hear what we say, and it hurts them. It would hurt me.
So go check out the other Maximum podcasts.
Yeah, please do. They're really great. And thanks to Maximum Fun for having us. We love you
guys.
Yeah,
it's a constant joy.
I want to thank John Roderick, too, and The Long Winters, as long as we're thanking people, for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a great album. I was listening to it on the record player earlier today. I played it backwards, and I heard John Roderick's Dark Regards. You guys want the final Yahoo?
Yeah, hit me.
This final Yahoo was sent in by Drew Davenport. It's a Yadrew. This Yadrew user, Steven, asks, what is the best moisture of all to use for lovemaking?
Oh, golly. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
And I'm Dr. Sydney McElroy.
Every Tuesday, we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine, a show about all the dumb, weird, terrible ways that we've tried to fix each other over the years. You know, some light summer listening.
Maybe you want to hear about yogurt enemas, or why we tried to eat mummies for a while, or why drinking cholera diarrhea sounded like a good idea.
That and so much more is waiting for you every Tuesday right here on the Maximum Fun Network with Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.